Good morning, faithful WCGA listeners. This is Woody, and this is segment one of program 8 of The Bigger Picture. And today is July the 1st, and this is Independence Day weekend, and before it goes away and becomes Juneteenth or something. You know what's coming. Anyway, welcome aboard. I want to continue kind of the theme that we talked about last week, but I'm going to be just a little more specific today in program 8 as we analyze something that a man I'm going to tell you in a few minutes was actually pretty evil, but said something pretty smart. His name is George Santayana back in the 19th and the early 20th century. A Spanish man educated in England and then who ended up in the university systems in America and strongly influencing what we believe. And his name is George Santayana. And old George one day said, "Those who fail to learn from history are failed, are I'm sorry, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." And the cycles of history, of course, are underscored and ratified in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and many other places. History is cyclical, and the great historians Arnold Toynbee, Pyrrhon Sorokin, Oswald Spengler knew that and have proved conclusively what makes nations die over and over and over again. And they're very right, and they're the ones that really caused me to write, and they're the basis of what I wrote in my book, The Bigger Picture, that was published back in 2014. But I did a lot of research over probably about 25 years. Maybe heavy research is an overstatement. I did a lot of reading, and I've told you I've got a library of several hundred books by really good authors, going back centuries. But I began to look back at the last 100 or so years, and I have discovered some pretty important things that sort of, well, they apply to us today. And I want to, by looking back and learning from history, I want to kind of lay a loose overview of how we are where we are. Now, we're going to talk about a particular line of people that begin back in the 7th century B.C. on the island of Lesbos in Greece. Yeah, that's the word from where lesbian comes from, the Isle of Lesbos. And a lady that was considered a great philosopher, even at a time when women weren't listened to quite as much as you would think they might, but her name was Sappho. And Sappho is actually, according to what I have been able to put together, was the one who is the mother of the ideology of the Democrat Party and what people like Joe Biden, the pseudo-president, the imposter, spews out of his cockroach mouth. But it has a long lineage of people. We're going to go through those in a future program. But Sappho was quite a darling of the 2nd century B.C. philosopher Lucretius. And he's gotten all sorts of humongous press and followers, particularly in the Ivy League schools. But he really just wrote one particularly significant work. But he influenced people for hundreds of years in Europe. Case in point, the late 19th century, early 20th century, Helena Blavatsky. She was, I guess, the intellectual mother of a fellow named Adolf Hitler. H-I-T-L-E-R, is that the way you pronounce it? Anyway, she taught him all he needed to know, along with some other fellows that happened to listen to what this woman had to say. And then she influenced people like Alice B. Toklas, you know, the Beatles song, "You Can Get Anything You Want," the Alice B. Toklas restaurant. And she influenced people like Robert Frost I forgot to mention, they influenced, they meaning Lucretius and Sappho, strongly influenced a fellow named George Santayana that said those who fail to doom from history, who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Remember him? Yeah. All these people have the same general idea, and frankly, somebody once called it the old witch spirit, and I think that's right. And if you want to know if they were effective in passing their virus from one generation to the next, beginning back in the 7th century B.C. and going through the 2nd century B.C. and on in with Rabbi Baruch and the 14th or 15th century and others like him and George Santayana and right on up the line to our modern-day knuckleheads who taught Joe Biden everything he doesn't know and those like him in the Democrat Party, just look at him and what do you see? The Democrat Party is led by dismissive, Gnostic women who intuit the right way for America, and the men that empower them and follow them because they don't have a brain in their head to understand the garbage that they're preaching. It pretty much reveals that what Sappho liked, you know, what's that now? 3,000, 2,700 years ago, sexual perversion and don't make babies and other stuff that the Democrats love, you know. Love, it's what it's all about. And, oh, by the way, let me redefine what love is. Anyway, this virus has been with us for a long time. And it actually was very, very effective in the 19th century. We had a lot of isms that came into the 19th century, like Darwinism, scientific materialism, you know, evolution, and Marxism, and all these isms that the intellectual community sucked up. Oh, let me have some of that. Yeah, let me teach that as truth. And because of the 19th century, Jacob Schiff's, I don't know, grandfather, something like that. I mean, Adam Schiff's grandfather, Jacob Schiff, was able to fund people like the cultural Marxists coming out of Germany in the 30s who set up shop in the Ivy League community and particularly through Columbia University and began to teach this critical race theory and cultural Marxism and the other things that, well, people like Sappho and Lucretius and Alice B. Toklas had set them up to believe through the intelligentsia. Anyway, that all started really in the 30s. That's when the big change, the devolution, as I call it, of America actually began. And at that time, there was an operative in our government named Eleanor Roosevelt, who was really the 32nd President of the United States, imposing her idea of what America should be by executive decree, while Franklin the idiot was off playing poker with Churchill, with Churchill sitting in the bathtub, or Franklin. That's really kind of weird stuff when you read the biography. Anyway, he liked poker, and he went home to Mom in Hyde Park over 200 times, and she never went. Well, she kind of ran things. But anyway, so the 30s, America was beginning actually to dissolve. And one generation later, let's skip to the 60s, bad things began to happen in the female community. You know, the feminist rights, and really the net result was that a lot of women like Hillary Clinton went off to law school and many of her other buddies, and they began to change the American legal system in courtesy of the Warren Court, sort of kowtowed to them. And so in the 60s, children began to turn away from their parents. You know, the generation raised in the 30s knew hardship and all sorts of difficulty, and they were kind of tough, and they were the generation that saved the world. my dad and their bunch. But they wanted their families to have a good life, so they started, you know, Levitt Homes in Pennsylvania and suburban life, and everybody has a good job and lots of money, and let's just focus on wealth accumulation and less on accomplishments. So my generation, when we graduated from high school in the 60s, were predominantly social workers, less science-oriented, less history-oriented, but more social-oriented. Well, you know, we need to help people. But it was the theology of Marxism that was beginning to impact us, so we didn't know it. And then our generation sort of handed off to the next generation in the 90s. And that's when all these writings began of these books that I have in my library that I've gone back and begun to read, as I did, you know, in the previous show. I went back and read some things I wrote a few years ago, and I began to see, wait a minute, there were some folks that knew this was coming back in the 90s. And now it's 2020, another generation, and it's on us. The full maturation of what began in earnest in the 30s, which was influenced in the 7th century B.C. by a sweet little gay lady named Sappho, and pushed by a declared to be great thinker, Lucretius. He wasn't so much so, but those that came later did. We're going to talk about this in the next segment, and we're going to talk about the 100 people who are screwing up America, at least according to Bernard Goldberg. I hope that you'll join me for segment 2 of Program 8 of The Bigger Picture.